How many of you like okra? Yeah. I haven't tried mustard on it, but I may try that now. Brenda and I do like okra. Before I begin, Bob just mentioned about Sarah, his daughter, her and Sue's daughter. We'll be having surgery again this Tuesday morning at in Annapolis. The infection has come back. They didn't get it all, so they've got to go back in. So keep Sarah in your prayers on Tuesday. Or it could be that afternoon, Bob said. Not confirmed on that, but it will be on Tuesday. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. There we go. This continuing our series in 1 John. How many of you like to read books? Books, yeah. And when you begin, you like to read all the way through, right? You just don't stop reading part of the book and then go to another book. You like to finish it and see what it's all about. Well, going through books of the Bible like this gives you the whole picture, the whole story. And as I've been reading and studying through the first epistle of John, John stays on track as the Holy Spirit revealed to him what we need to know. The first part of this message was about obedience, and today, from 1 John chapter 2, 7 through 11, tells us about love and what we need to know about it and how we need to treat others and so forth. So follow along with me as I begin with verse 7. As John says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard." And he tells us about that in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Okay, in verse 8, "On the other hand," there John says, "On the other hand now, I'm gonna tell you something else. I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." I like that. "The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." In verse 11, "But the one who hates his brother in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." We've all heard the expressions, haven't we? "Oh, I just love that hat." And I know Carolyn hadn't been wearing her hats, and we can't say that, "I just love your hat." But we've heard those expressions, haven't we? And we've heard, "Man, I really love that old-fashioned kind of baked beans." How many of you have heard that before? "I love that blackberry cobbler Grandma made." And I can say that, because my grandmother, Mommy Hale, made some of the best cobbler alongside Brenda. I got to say that. And peach cobbler and all of those good things. We've heard those expressions, and we've also probably heard, "But Mom, don't you know that Bobby and I love each other?" So these are expressions that we often hear. Words like coins, I might say, can be in circulation for such a long time that they start wearing out. Unfortunately, the word love, and you've also heard the word love, L-O-V-E, used in other ways as L-O-U-V, right? Didn't they used to make a truck named the Love Truck, a Chevrolet Love? Yeah, and it was spelled L-O-U-V. And it's losing its value, and it is being used to cover multitudes of meanings. Now, when words are used that carelessly, they mean little and nothing at all, like the dollar. You know, somehow it's being devalued. So now, as John describes life that is real, and that's what he's saying about life, it is real. He uses three words repeatedly. He uses the word life, love, and light. And when you read, in 1 John, you're going to see these words, life, love, and light. And in fact, he devoted three sections of this letter in the subject of Christian love. And he explains that love, life, and light belong together. Just like, not last Sunday, but week before last, two Sundays ago, I preached on obedience. And when you look at obedience and love, they go together. They're inseparable. So, the Christian way of life, as I look at it, as John is telling us here in these few verses, are walking in the light involves not only the fellowship with God, but also with the brethren. In verses 5 and through 7, consciousness and confession of sin in chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Obedience by imitation of Christ in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, which I preached on 2 weeks ago. Now, walking in the light also requires the love of the brethren, as John said. So a Christian who is walking in the light in obedience is going to love his brothers and sisters in Christ. So, moving on to the command to love. The command to love is mentioned here in verses 7 through 8. The Christian way of life has always been the way of love. So in verse 7, going back to verse 7 here, I want us to look at that. John advises us as to the mandate and the origin. If you picked up on that in this very verse, it's verse 7, he gives us the mandate and he gives us the origin of what he is saying here. Again, he said, beloved. Why did he say beloved? Because he loved them. He loved the ones he was talking to, the ones he was sharing what the Lord had revealed to him. So he says, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the very beginning. And he expresses this also back in the Gospel of John, where he talks about the word and the commandments. But he says, an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is a word, or logos, that's the Greek word for word, logos, which you have heard. So, John calls his little children beloved, as again, because he loves them. And he was instructing them so that they might grow in grace. And when I think about that growing in grace as well, we all need to grow in grace each day. The giving, something that we don't really deserve, the mercy as well. But 2 Peter 3:18 says, as we feed upon the Word and get the understanding, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ give us understanding through His mercy and grace as well. So, even Peter talks about that. So, the commandment here, as John is saying, to love one another, is the fulfillment of God's love, God's law. Even Jesus talked about the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord. He says, love the Lord my God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the second greatest commandment is to love one another. So when you love people, well, you don't lie about them, right? You don't gossip about them. You don't steal from them. You don't covet what is theirs, or you don't tell tales on them. You don't do that anyway. If they're not your favorite people, whatever. The Bible says don't do that anyway. But when we look at this, love for God and love for others, see, motivates a person to obey God's commandments without thinking about them. Okay? So when a person acts out God's love, he obeys God and he serves others. Now, in Romans here we see, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in him, and the love of God begins to be shed abroad in their hearts. And that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And John talks about that, and he shared with that, and that's something we do each day of our lives. As we learn from the Scriptures, as we take serious the salvation that we have, the verse that we, our weekly verse in our bulletin talked about salvation, do not fear. We get strength, and we get courage, and we get understanding. And here, God begins to teach a new believer all about love. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, which says, for you yourselves are taught of God. Now, how are we taught of God? Well, we're taught of God through the Scriptures. We are taught through God by as we communicate with Him. As I was sharing yesterday in the wedding with Brian and Samantha, talking about communication, as I shared with them, and as I mentioned this yesterday, the key to marriage, the key to anything in this life is communication. So if we want to know something, we must communicate it, or it must be communicated to us. So God wanted us to know all about Him and who He is, and His sovereignty, His power. And He communicated that to us, and He communicated that to us and His love through the Word. See, that's what we do. We communicate how we feel. If we love someone, we're going to tell them. We're going to communicate that. And oftentimes, it's communicated just through our body actions and so forth. But there's nothing better than verbally saying that and communicating that so someone else may know. See, God wanted us to know. That's why John said, my beloved, because I love you, I'm going to share what God has communicated to me that you may not only love yourself or love God, but all of those around you, all the people that God has placed in your lives, you are to love them. You're not to talk about them. You're not to tell tales on them. You're not to gossip on them. You're not to covet what they have. You are to love them. That's what John is communicating to us here in these particular verses. See, that's why a new believer in Jesus Christ, he discovers that he now hates what he used to love and loves what he used to hate, okay? You can figure that out. There's things that they're the wrong that you don't need to love. and you need to love the things that God has placed in your life that enables you to be a better Christian. Putting away the old things, the things of sin, the things that trip you up, the things that hinder your relationship with God, those are the things that you are hate. See, God hates sin. He don't hate people. He loves people, but he hates people's ways sometimes because the things that we do sometimes is sin. And that's why John is saying, I'm not writing you a new commandment, but it's a commandment that you have known from the very beginning. So by John saying that, he said, okay, now is the time to start practicing what you know, that what has been communicated to you. And then when we look at verse 8, John explains himself Father. Okay, he said, I've told you one thing. I've told you about the new commandment, and it's I want to tell you about something else as well. Then that's why he says, on the other hand. How many of you ever said that? You've told a story, you've said something there, but on the other hand, it's this way as well. It's a further explanation of what you want to be said. So on the other hand, John says, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. Did you know that every time you witness to somebody that is lost, not realizing they are in the darkness? So if you win that one person to Jesus Christ, guess what? The darkness in that person's life is passing away. You see, every time you witness, every time a person is saved in this world, it takes out a little darkness. And that's why Jesus says, I'm the light. I'm the big light, and you're the little lights. So let your little light shine. And when your little light shines and you help other people come to the big light, then they become a little light that's going to shine in a big way. So that's what John means about the passing of the dark, is when salvation enters into someone's life, it changes their life in such a way that it removes some of the darkness within their lives. And I want to read a portion of that verse again, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. See, Jesus Christ has been shining from the very beginning of the foundations of the world. He came into this world to make this world brighter and to make our lives brighter as well. So John is saying the old commandment is to love is also, in a sense, it's new, is what he's saying here. And this is why John says that we are to love one another. And that is a new commandment, in a sense. That's why it says, on the other hand. And what John is saying, it really is a new emphasis. Okay? We've done it this way, and now I want to encourage you a new way and a better way, and that is to love like Christ. That's the better way. Now, we can love in a little way, and that's our way sometimes, but in a bigger fashion, we love like Christ. Now, it's not simply one of many commandments. It stands at the top of the list. I believe it really does. And reason I say it stands at the top of the list is because Christ himself said it. And John is just relaying what has been communicated to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the commandment to love one another is a new emphasis, I said again, in the New Testament. It is one of the most important commandments Christ gives us. And he tells us that in John 13:34, that we ought to love one another. In fact, the phrase love one another is repeated 12 times in the New Testament. And it's used many other times, even in the Old Testament, but it's used many other times in throughout. I can mention books like Romans and John and Peter and 1 Thessalonians. Many of those books talk about this love one another. Now, it's important that we understand the meaning of Christian love. It's not a shallow, sentimental, and emotional thing that Christ, that we can just try to work up. You can't do it. Oftentimes we try to work up to it or get all worked up and try to put it into action. But so they can get, you know, along with each other, or we can get along with one another. It's not something that you just manufacture, but it's a matter of the will rather than an emotional affection and for the attraction are certain people. It's just not a certain attraction. So it's a matter of determining of we have to make up our mind. When you get up in the morning, you got to make up your mind, okay, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to fix my hair. Well, I don't have to really do that, but you're going to put on makeup, you're going to get ready, you're going to get ready for work, and you're going to go and do your job, and the other things that's on your agenda, you got to make up your mind that you're going to do that, or you can say, not today, I'm just going to relax, not do anything. I saw an email, a text that one of our pastor friends, he said, "Well, it's good to be retired. Today, I'm not going to do anything." And you got to know Pastor Mike Dixon, but that's the way he thinks sometimes. And I just thought, boy, not to do anything is hard for you or me not to do, because it's making up our mind that we're going to get involved and do something in our lives. So, the reason we should and can love one another is because the darkness is passing away. See, the thought of that light does not yet shine fully in the world, nor does it even penetrate every area of the believer's life. The Scripture makes it clear it's shining, and one day it will win out. One of these days, we might not see it in our day and time, but one of these days it's going to win out. Because God's love will reign supreme. So when Jesus was born, the Scripture says in Isaiah, "The sun shined from on high, came into the world." And also that's Luke chapter 1 talks about that as well. But when you think about the birth of Christ was the beginning of the new day for mankind. As he lived among men, he taught them, he ministered to them, he spread the light and the love to all mankind. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 16 it says, "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." And that's because that Jesus came upon the scene. They was looking something in their life that would bring them hope, bring them security, bring them a new vision of what their life was going to be. And it came through Jesus Christ. In a fathomless grace, God allowed his son to die on the cross to save us from eternal darkness. And what a message that was to the world. And see, we get to enjoy that today in our lives. Reminds me a where I read about and tying this in, it reminds me back one dark and dreary evening during the World War II, a United States aircraft carrier was plowing through the night, heavy fog and seas in the South Pacific. And this particular ship, the captain commanded that everybody turn off the lights in the ship so they could not be located because there were submarines floating all around them. And there was one aircraft circling, trying to find this aircraft carrier, but couldn't find it because it couldn't see the deck. This aircraft carrier was flying around, and the only place it could land was on this aircraft carrier. And the captain, knowing the devastation of this pilot and what could happen, and the danger that the ship would be put in if the lights were on, he commanded them to turn on the lights. And as soon as he did, this aircraft carrier come back around, this airplane came back around and landed and sat down on that deck like a pigeon finding a nest to safety. And I say that. See, at Bethlehem, knowing the risk because of Pontius Pilate and him wanting to kill everyone, the children and so forth, God gave a command, light up the way home. And he did this through Jesus Christ. Jesus was born. And a new and radiant light began to shine, pushing the darkness in the world. And that's what John is talking about here. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. And he was talking about Jesus Christ in this particular time. See, Satan, he is the prince of darkness, and he extends his evil kingdom by the means of lies and hatred. And that's why John is encouraging us, and we should encourage one another, by this statement, love one another. It's a new commandment. It's an old commandment, but it's a new emphasis for us to use. See, Christ is the Son of Righteousness. In Malachi, well, let me read John 1:5. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to put it out. It never will. And that's why I say Satan is the prince of darkness. And then Christ is the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4:2. And he extends his kingdom by the means of truth and love. And when we look at that way, it means all the difference in the world. So the kingdom of Christ and of Satan are a conflict today. See, we are in a spiritual conflict with Satan, with the world. But you see, as John is explaining it to us so clearly and so precisely, if we love one another as we love Christ, it removes the sin and darkness within the world. So, Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." You know, we all elaborated, and many elaborated on this day, right? Doesn't it light up your life? Doesn't it make you feel better about the day and about your life when you see the sun shines and we see the beautiful sky? Nothing more beautiful than what this verse says right here. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is that perfect day in your life? What is that perfect day? Have you ever thought about that? The perfect day in your life. And we might look upon it as nature. I don't look at it that way. I enjoy nature. I enjoy these beautiful days like this. But a beautiful day to me is getting up, seeing it, but knowing that Christ is in my life. That's the beautiful day that I experience. And you can experience as well. See, and that's why, you know, Christ died for me, took away that one darkness, light up my life, light up the world. And when we win one soul to Christ, one person, that removes some of that darkness within this world, the darkness of sin. So the darkness is passing away little by little because the true light is shining brighter and brighter in our hearts. You see, that's how God works. He works with our hearts. When He changes our hearts, He changes everything about us. And then we can love one another. We might not like their ways, do we? We like everybody's ways. You probably don't like everything about yourself. But Christ can light up your life. The true light is brighter and brighter in our hearts. That's what it's all about. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You this day. We can learn so much from Your Scripture. So much. Because You do communicate everything that we need through Your Word. It will brighten up our day. It will brighten up our life. Lord, I thank You for the opportunities to be able to go about and doing things that You're in the midst of, to experience Your presence in our lives, to experience Your presence here in this sanctuary. And as we look around this world, there is a lot of darkness, yet that has not been taken away. And we can be a big part of that. Satan is trying his hardest to keep the darkness within this world, the darkness of sin. It is a spiritual battle among everyone who lives on the earth. And Lord, we pray this as we are Your witnesses, we are Your ambassadors, we are children of God, a body of Christ who can help. You have given us that commandment to love the Lord our God with all heart, soul, and mind, and to love one another. See, that's removing the darkness. To removing the darkness within our own lives. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know You personally, and we never know that. I don't always know that, but You do. We just pray for the power of Your Holy Spirit, as John says, that works and can change the heart that is willing, the heart and the mind that is attentive and open and sensitive to Your Holy Spirit. We pray for Your movement this morning. Lord, You're willing to change and mold us into Your likeness, but we must be willing and be willing to surrender our all to You. As we sing this morning, Lord, I pray for Your movement of Your Holy Spirit, and for sensitive hearts that would be willing to take a stand for You. I pray this in Your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation on the screen. There it is. Take time to be holy. Let us stand as we sing.